Okay, so good morning. This work kind of comes out of a little bit of Leon Swee last year, if you recall, at Beltwide. He decided not to do length for once. He said he wanted to look at maturity, and he wanted to look at new ways to look at maturity. You know, we've been doing a lot of work on maturity, but what is maturity? How do we define maturity? And why do we do so much work on maturity? My co-author, Hee Jin Kim, is with our Harvard Bioscience Group in New Orleans, and he's a molecular biologist. He swears he's not a cotton breeder, but he seems to breed a lot of cotton. And he's asked us to measure fiber maturity often, and he's interested in looking at its role in fiber strength. And so this is just a little bit of overview of some work we've been doing the last year or so. So a little bit of background. I think everyone's fairly familiar, but if not, that, the fiber is a single cell that extends off of the cottonseed. And for about the first 17 to 20 days after flowering, the fiber actually elongates. And that's all the length it's ever going to have. It's after that point, somewhere around 17, 20, 22 days after flowering, that secondary cell wall starts to actually be developed. And that's what we're usually referring to as maturity. So again, you know, the length is set before what we call maturity ever really begins. So all the ginning that we do, all the textile processing that we do, all the handling of the fiber reduces the fiber length, creating these short and weak and immature fibers. There are naturally short fibers on the seed. There are naturally weak fibers on the seed. There are immature fibers. Oh, it's doing this crazy thing again today. It will come back. And this is one of the issues that often in ginning we hear, you know, oh, we're trying to remove short, weak, immature fibers. So the question came out is, you know, I was asked by a bunch of breeders, well, does that mean short fibers are immature? Well, maybe, maybe not, because the length is set before the maturity. And I said, all this comes out of where does strength come from? So we're talking about strength. It's important to remember that often fiber strength is reported as tenacity. And tenacity is a breaking force that's been normalized or divided by the fineness. So if you have a finer fiber and the same raw breaking force, it would have a higher tenacity than a coarser fiber with the same raw breaking force. And that raw number, that breaking force, can be influenced by a number of things. What's the gauge length that we're testing at? You know, is it an eighth of an inch? Is it, you know, a half an inch? What's the speed of the crosshead? Are we moving slowly or fast? You know, how many fibers? Are we talking a single fiber, a bundle, a large bundle? You know, we look at single fiber testing, obviously, is one fiber. HVI is a relatively large bundle. It's a tapered bundle at that. You've got stolometer, that's a flat bundle. You have all these different tests. You know, Presley uses zero gauge. Stolometer uses 1/8 inch gauge. And so all these things come into play with measuring what is that actual tenacity. And then another area to look at is the work to break, and a lot of Eric's work lately has focused on elongation and really looking at that force elongation curve. What's the area under that curve? And that's the energy, really, or toughness of the fiber. So again, we're talking about maturity. You know, I think this is what Leon was getting at last year. You know, what exactly is maturity, and why do we talk about it? How do we measure it? You know, like I said, we're talking about degree of secondary cell wall development, but what is mature? How mature is mature? We usually talk about a ratio, but, you know, is 0.8 mature? Is 0.85 mature? It's kind of a vague moving target. Maturity is related to fineness, subject to some genetic preconditions. You have fibers that are genetically, I mean, in general, you know, do you want to be generic about Pimas tend to be finer than uplands, but even within uplands, there are finer fibers and coarser fibers have the same maturity. But generally, as you're more mature, your fineness decreases, you become coarser. And I would say, you know, I think everyone can agree, it's difficult to measure maturity consistently, accurately, and efficiently with any sort of consensus. There's lots of methods out there. Some are fast, some are slow, but they all will give you different kind of numbers. But why is it important? You know, we know that dye uptake appearance is affected by maturity, but what other properties are there? Because we're putting a lot of effort into maturity measurements. So for this particular work, we're looking at a couple of genetic crosses. And like I said, I'm not really a cotton breeder in any way, shape, or form, but it's good to know a few people. And so we did some crosses with an immature fiber mutant called IM. And we used two cottons, a Delta Pine 90 that's genetically predisposed to be a relatively fine cotton, and Suregrow 747 that's genetically disposed to be a very coarse cotton. And these were crossed with this immature mutant that never fully matures. So it's always immature, low mic. And off of this, we've got 8 offspring from each cross for a total of 16 plants. Now these were grown side by side outside in the field in front of our lab in New Orleans. Same season, so we have no field effects to contend with, no environmental production, all exactly the same. The only difference for micronair and hopefully maturity and fineness should be this genetic crossing. And so we look at, for the sugar grower crosses, Delta Pine 90 crosses, we got a range from 5.47 to 2.67 micronair for the sugar grower, 5.73 to 3.13 for the Delta Pine 90. And for the purpose of this presentation, the 8 crosses are numbered basically number 1 being the highest micronair, number 8 being the lowest micronair. I put the lint yield here, and this is based on hand ginning the lint. And in general, you can tell it's not unexpected. The lower micronair has a lower lint percent. But you can see that the trend is not perfect. It's relatively consistent, but there are a few ups and downs, and that's just the nature of small sampling. For some of the methods we're looking at here, maturity was measured using cross-section image analysis, sort of the consensus method, also using FTIR, as well as the cotton scope, which uses birefringence as its principle of measurement. Fiber fineness was measured also with the cotton scope, as well as gravimetric, which is the lovely and tedious cut and weigh method of arranging a bundle of fibers, cutting them to a known length, and then weighing out, well, counting out a set number of fibers and weighing that known bundle. The Favimet single fiber tester was used for some strength measurements, and then the HVI was used for bundle strength. So most of y'all are fairly familiar with image analysis, but for those who've never seen cross sections, this is some representative cross sections that were performed, and this is number 1, 5, and 8. So you've got the highest micronair, the lowest micronair, and a moderate micronair for each of our crosses. And you can see here on the sugar grow, this is that 5 plus mic. It's lots of round, very plump, fully mature cotton fibers, but there's definitely a lot of diversity in here. This is the low mic immature, or we presume immature, and obviously if you look at it, you have all these flat, undeveloped fibers. That explains that 3 mic reading. And the same shown for the Delta Pine 90. So when we do image analysis, we look for a minimum of 300 fibers to be analyzed by the software. In this case, we did 10 cross sections of each fiber bundle. And here's the image analysis results. It's quite a range. For the sugar grow, we had anywhere from a maturity ratio of 0.836 for number 1, 0.889 for number 2. Like I said, the trends are there, but they're not exactly all in the order that you would expect based strictly on micronair. As low as maturity ratio of 0.4 or 0.5. And then for Delta Pine 90, we do have a maturity ratio from 1 to 0.5. Now, again, when we're talking about maturity ratio, we're talking about theta divided by 0.577. And theta, for those who aren't familiar, is 4 pi times the area, and that's the area of the secondary cell wall, which is minus the lumen, divided by the perimeter squared. And so what we're talking about there is here, this is the fiber, secondary, the whole area, subtract out the lumen, that hollow area in the middle, and that's the secondary cell wall area, just for those who aren't familiar. So we also did maturity measurement. Again, we did an MR, maturity ratio, using FTIR. Similar numbers, but definitely not the same numbers as image analysis. Lower standard deviations, but this is obviously you're actually testing a much smaller sample. Cotton scope, a different range of numbers, but similar trends, even smaller standard deviations. And I'll talk about why all three of these are kind of, they're same trends, but don't agree. While we're looking at cotton scope, we'll also look at gravimetric, the fineness, because cotton scope gives a fineness number, so we also do gravimetric fineness. And again, you can see for both the sugar grow and Delta Pine 90 crosses, there is a general trend from the low mic to the high mic that corresponds with the fineness corresponds with that, but the two methods do not agree in number. So this is what I was talking about. You know, regardless of the method, there's a broad range that we created by the crosses, so that's good. We were able to accomplish that. But, you know, there's general agreement of trends, but that as micronair decreased, so did maturity and fineness. But no two methods agree Very close, actually. I mean, they give you general trends. But if I say a maturity ratio of 0.8 measured by one instrument, that was on the high end. By another instrument, it was in the middle. And that's a problem with the maturity measurements. So we look at HVI, and you know, we've got the micronarrow over in this column, again, from high to low. And if you look at the strength off the HVI, until we get down on the SureGrow to this 2.6, 2.7 micronarrow cotton, which we all agree is really, really low, the strength isn't significantly different between the crosses, according to the HVI. There are some differences in elongation. There's not really significant differences in the staple length, in the upper half mean length from the HVI. There does appear to be some interesting things happening here in the short fiber index by the HVI, that it does seem to be increasing as that micronarrow decreases. Similar for the Delta Pine 90 crosses, same thing. In this case, the 3.4 and 3.1 mic cottons, you know, but there's not a huge amount of differences here. And, you know, I was just kind of expecting to see a bigger difference because we have these large maturity differences in this set. Now, when we look at FavMAT results, this is single fiber data. So, you know, this is not a bundle. This is a single fiber at a time. And this goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, tenacity versus force. We talk about fiber strength in terms of tenacity, normalizing by the fineness. Well, when you're doing a single fiber, what do you normalize it by? So we use an eighth of an inch gauge length, same as the HVI, to account for that, same crosshead speed as the HVI. And this time we normalize using the gravimetric fineness data. And if we look at the tenacity data, with the exception of this number 7 here, which is really low, and number 6 for the SureGrow, there's not a lot of differences here. But what you do see with tenacity is, whereas we saw a general, you know, for the really immature cottons, a decrease in tenacity, here we're actually seeing a rather increase in tenacity for single fiber. If you look at elongation, now you're starting to see some bigger differences, only it's almost the opposite of what we saw on HVI. But if you look at the raw breaking force, that makes more sense. You know, the more mature, coarser fibers, more developed fibers, obviously have a higher breaking force. Similarly, that area under the curve, that work to break, that starts to show what we expected to see. So if you look at tenacity, that normalized number, it can be really misleading. For the Delta Pine 90 crosses, it's actually even more extreme. I mean, if someone showed me a cotton and said it had a tenacity of 53 and 63, I'd wonder what they were drinking last night. And then you come over here and you look at the work to break, and it's significantly lower. And the actual raw data is significantly lower. So you have to be really careful when you look at tenacity because of that role that fineness and maturity play in it. So this is just to kind of plot the two against each other, HVI, bundle, and FavMAT. And you can kind of see that my point on this is the HVI, except for the extremes, is relatively flat trends, while the single fiber shows this inverse trend where with the maturity dropping, the single fiber tenacity seems to be increasing. But if I look at just that single fiber data, and this is now, the blue is the breaking force, not tenacity, the raw breaking force. The green is the work. For scaling, it's multiplied by 100. And the purple is the elongation percent. Now you start to see a different trend. So, you know, my whole point in this, like I said, this is kind of some preliminary data. It's part of a larger study we're doing with the Cotton Fiber Bioscience Group. But it's to highlight those inconsistent relationships between maturity and strength. That when you're looking at especially immature samples, extremely immature samples, you've got to be really careful at, you know, using just tenacity or using bundle data. So it's also reasonable to assume that primary cell wall has a role in fiber strength, not just secondary cell wall. And there's a lot of confounding issues. Even when we hand gin the cotton, the weakest fibers are going to break preferentially. Every time we handle it, the weakest fiber is going to break. Physical testing is biased towards the longer fibers, and yet every time we handle it, we've broken fibers. And so by the time we do ginning, the fibers that are there have already passed essentially a minimum test. And I think this was proven by the fact that short fiber increased as the maturity decreased. And then it's confounded even further when you use a bundle test. Bundle test uses a large number of fibers, but if you have fine fibers, there's a lot more fibers in there. HVI is controlling for a constant mass range, so finer cottons will have more fibers in that bundle, coarse fibers will have fewer, and that can confound the results and skew the results. So as breeders are working on maturity and fiber strength, they need to make sure that they're not being led down a path thinking they have a high-strength fiber. In reality, they have a fiber that may look good on paper, but in a mill, it's not going to stand up to processing. So that was just a quick little overview of what we've been working on. So thank you very much.
Any questions for Chris?
Good, it's early. Everyone's asleep still.